It is good to be back with you. I appreciate the time that you allowed me to have off. I want you to know that it was very, very unproductive. It is good to be back with you. It is Pentecost today, and the title of my message today is May the Spirit Move You. That might sound familiar to you. See, a year ago on Pentecost, I concluded my message by saying, it is interesting to see all the faces smiling back at me at the end of each service as I give the final blessing, may the Spirit move you as the Spirit will. I said, the next time you hear that blessing, think to yourself, which Spirit am I expecting a blessing from? The one that's gentle, decent, and in good order, or the one that's unconventional and unexpected? And in answering that, keep in mind that it would seem you cannot tame the wind. Well, I don't know about you, but if I'm being honest with myself and with God, I'm not always certain that I want the Spirit to move me as the Spirit will. I would rather the Spirit move me after we, the Spirit and I, have a discussion about where we are moving. How much will it cost? And what are the possible ramifications of said move? But once you understand the Spirit, and once you open yourself to the Spirit, you understand that that is not the way God works in the Spirit. As our story that Ralph read for us today reminds us, when the Spirit moves, unanticipated things happen. The unexpected can become the expected, which begs the question, what kind of blessing is that? Well, it's a blessing that lies in the outcome. When we focus on control and controlling the moment, we pre-select the outcome and we shut ourselves off from the multitude of possibilities the world, the universe, God is putting in front of us. Opening ourselves to the movement of the Spirit sets those possibilities back into play and gives us a chance to experience things we may have never thought possible. Well, the thought of a God whose Spirit stirs things up, not to mention stirs us up, probably leaves many of us, shall we say, a little uncomfortable. The thought of a God whose Spirit brings new life where once there had been none seems to act outside of our contemporary scientific realities. The thought of a God whose Spirit is not interested in the status quo with how things are, how things have been, or even how we want things to be, leaves most of us feeling unsettled, uneasy, and certainly somewhat uninspired. The problem is, even with all of our intentional or unintentional efforts to make the Spirit seem like a quiet and gentle little friend, we have biblical, and I would even argue real life witnesses to the fact that the Spirit of God is, in fact, unruly, unexpected, unconventional, and downright unconcerned with what we want or how things have always been done. Biblically, the Spirit is the wind who, as Ralph read, is the wind who grappled with the chaos from which the world was transformed. It doesn't get much more unruly than that. And then the Spirit brings about the pregnancy of a frightened girl named Mary. Talk about unexpected. Then Mary's praise is not proclaimed by the very worthy priest Zechariah, as society would have expected, but rather through his pregnant wife Elizabeth, downright unconventional and unconcerned with worldly expectations. The examples of an unwieldy spirit go on and bring us up to the story of Pentecost, which we are celebrating here today. The Spirit, it would seem, is not afraid of a little mess, not afraid to mix things up and expect a remarkable, possibly even unexpected outcome. I guess then that it's fair to say that with the Spirit, you best be expecting the unexpected. It's certainly the story that we have here in Acts. And I say that not just because of the rushing wind or the tongues of fire or even the way that everyone seems to understand each other's languages, even languages that hadn't been spoken for 400 years. To truly understand the unruliness of the Spirit, to truly understand how the Spirit stirs up the status quo, we have to back up in our story a bit. See, after the chaos of the last few weeks, after the crucifixion of Jesus, after reports of Jesus returning from the dead, after the risen Christ visiting the disciples, and after Christ ascends into heaven, all of which I think we can agree are amazingly unusual events, the furthest thing from normal, the status quo. After all of that less than normal stuff, Jesus' followers, not so surprisingly, tried to get back to normal. What they failed to learn in their time with Jesus was that the Spirit does not fit neatly into human expectations. The apostles rejoin other believers in Jerusalem, and they begin, in the beginning of Acts, they establish an orderly and apparently secluded community life centered on prayer. And Peter efficiently and takes the necessary steps to replace Judas, thereby completing the disciples' circle and establishing the correctness of his own leadership. A lot, obviously, of very controlled and expected things, right? Or as we would say in the Presbyterian Church, decently and in good order. So, we could say things seem to be proceeding in a methodical fashion. Right up to the opening verse of Acts 2, where our reading today picked up. Suddenly, all chaos breaks loose. Sound overwhelms the room. Tongues of fire reach out and take hold of people. The speech that comes from many believers is foreign yet simultaneously understood. The walls can't contain the people or the Spirit that moves them. And with this instantaneous shift of setting, they're struck by the Spirit and thrust out into the streets. And then all of a sudden, the first chapter of Acts' image of order is shattered. The Spirit, it would seem, is given to doing its own thing. And the biblical witnesses that we have suggest that its own thing frequently looks like things we've never imagined, things we've never done, and things that just might require us to step outside of how we've always done things, outside of our comfort zones. So, on this Pentecost Sunday, I'd like to share with you this wish. It's based, again, on the ending blessing that I have done at the end of every service that I have ever held. So, it's so familiar that many of you sometimes mouth it along with me. And this, may the Spirit move you as the Spirit will. I hope that at the end of each service, you hear the words as both a blessing and a challenge. Not just the indication that it's time to go eat. May the Spirit move you as the Spirit will. As the Spirit will. May you not get wrapped up in what you want and what makes you feel comfortable. May you experience the genuine joy of getting wrapped up in the dreams of God. Experiencing life as it was intended. Truly letting go and opening yourself up to the possibilities. May you let go of the world's limitations and expectations and live into the boundless and endless joy of a life Spirit-led. May the Spirit move you as the Spirit will. May the Spirit move you. May the Spirit move you. That might just be the most frightening part of my weekly blessing. May the Spirit move you. And on this Pentecost Sunday, it is my wish for you too. May the Spirit move you. You see, still waters grow stagnant. We as followers of Jesus are to be fed by the living waters, like an ever-flowing river. It requires movement. Movement that is not simply repetition. The only repetition in a river is that of a relentless forward movement. It does not pause for obstacles. It goes around them or consistently bears down on them until they are removed or worn down. The only thing that stops a river are unnatural works of humanity. Constructs designed to hold and harness the power of a river. But here's the thing, when you do that, it's no longer a river. It's a pond, a lake. It is still waters. My wish for you is that the Spirit move you. My wish for you is that you don't follow the same patterns week in and week out. That you don't figuratively and literally continue to sit in the same places. My wish is that the Spirit move you. Move you to see the world in a fuller way. Move you to no longer exclude people, be it in our lives, in our words, or in our laws. My wish is that the Spirit move you to be a Spirit-filled people. People who like the Spirit are likely to do something surprising and unexpected from a place of love. To embrace those that are pushed away by society. To stand with those who are having a hard time standing on their own. To speak out when ministers and politicians and neighbors are speaking against other people. To not stay silent when choices that are being made will effectively silence the rights of a whole segment of our population. May the Spirit move you. Be an active community of love. Letting justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an overflowing stream. May you be moved to be defined by love, not hate. May you be moved to include all and not exclude some. May you be moved to live into the example and teachings of Jesus rather than the expectations of the world and your political party. May you be moved to show peace to the world, to bring justice to lives that hurt, to be a shining example of what love looks like when it is being moved by the Spirit of God. May the Spirit move you as the Spirit will.